How's everybody doing this morning? I love baby dedication day. I love seeing families be blessed with new life. And father for myself, I love seeing people at the beginning stages where I was, and I enjoy seeing them going through what I went through and my wife went through when we had little ones. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful journey. As Rob said, today the main thing, we're going through a series called The Church That Wins. And the year theme that we have is fruitfulness. Last year's theme was community. This year is fruitfulness. What does it look like when God blesses a church that lives out its calling? And we are going through things that we believe God will bless us with when we remain true to our calling. And so we started off with a church that stays faithful to its roots, remaining in God. Then last week we talked about reaches the lost, a growing church that reaches the lost. And this week we're talking about something that actually was the inspiration to plant this church almost 11 years ago. We want to be a balanced church. A church that reaches the family through reaching men. And I understand the sensitive nature of this, that there's a lot of tension between, I guess, the men and women thing and everything, but I don't want that to be here. We're going to talk about some hard things today, and if that's not your cup of tea, it's okay if you go. It's okay. No one's going to judge you if you don't want to hear these things, but I'm asking your permission to share some hard things and to make you think about some things that maybe you haven't thought about before. But this is the driving force of this church. This is why we started Catalyst Christian Church 11 years ago. Getting into that, my son Sam and I got back from working out on Monday night, and Rachel and my wife Rachel and my daughter Elsie were in the family room watching a movie, and it was called I'm in Love with a Church Girl. It's a Netflix. Anybody seen that? It is. Okay. All right. Good. None of you all were cursed with that tragedy. Okay. But it had all the stereotypes of American Christianity in it. It had a thug guy who got interested in a good girl. Okay, a good girl who loves church. It had the mom of the thug guy who led the family in prayer when they got together. When the mom dies in the hospital bed, sorry to spoil it, she tells her son to go after God. It's such a common story that we hardly even notice it anymore. Okay, all spirituality, all spiritual leadership, if there is any, revolves around the woman of the house. The guys are passive observers at best. And I wonder how that movie would have done if it was reversed. If it was a thug girl that fell in love with a church-going guy. They go out to dinner with the parents, and the dad led the family in prayer. And this time, it's the dad dying in hospital bed when he tells his daughter to go after God. That's almost completely hard to understand, to fathom, isn't it? Completely hard to fathom. A strange move, huh? Well, it just reinforced all the stereotypes here that there is Christian leadership in the home. The mom does it. And it's very different from what we see in the Bible. I want to take you to 1 Kings 2, 1 through 4. This is the time where King David, the guy who's named after me, is about to die. Okay? It says this. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave charge to Solomon, his son. I'm about to go the way of the earth, he said. So be strong, act like a man. And observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commandments, his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses. Here's a father telling his son to go after God on his deathbed. Do this so you may prosper in all you do wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. This was not Solomon's mother Bathsheba talking to him. This was his dad. This was the man of the house. So David looks at his son and said, listen, son, I'm circling the drain. I'm about to kick the bucket by the farm, about to start pushing up daisies. I'm about to bite the dust, cash in my chips, cross the Jordan, go on a Texas cakewalk, take a dirt nap, swing low, sweet chariot. I'm toast, son. I Googled those, by the way, just letting you know. So be strong, he says. Be a man. Do what God commands. Do that so it'll go well with you, that life will work out for you. And if you don't do these things, son, he says. You're going to be walking uphill with the wind in your face the whole time of your life. That's what King David is telling his son. Honor God, be a man, walk in obedience to him. What amazing words from a man. Most of us never heard words like that from a man before. We usually don't hear those. It's usually mom who tells the family to get ready for church, isn't it? It's usually mom who cares about the faith of the person their kid is dating. Mom's, you know, you bring a kid home that you're dating, and mom asks, are you a Christian? Are you a believer? Dad just says, hey, you got money, you got a job, you know? Or if it's a girl, wants to know if she's attractive. But that's not what the Bible shows. Okay, so how have we gotten here? Why is it men have seemingly abdicated their spiritual leadership in the home? It didn't used to be that way. Well, I think the church, obviously, there's sin issues. Not every man is surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we're not going to fix that barring the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. We're not talking about that, but I'm talking about the role the church has played in it. This is what keeps men away from church, other than not believing. The Christian guys who would have no problem with God but are not here this morning. There are a couple things. It's seen as a place for women and children. I hate to say this. A lot of us guys see church as a place for women and children. I would like to ask Paul and, let's see here, Tim and, let's see here, John. I want you guys to come up, and if you don't mind, grab your wife's purses while you're on your way up here. If you don't mind. I need you guys to stand right up here, okay? Come on up here, guys. Okay, now as a church... Then bring her purse. Okay, go steal a purse. All right. Okay, all right. Now, as a church, I want you guys to evaluate. Okay, guys, all of us who are married and maybe who are dating have been asked at some point to hold our wives' purses in public. And if you've ever seen an uncomfortable guy, it's nothing is more amusing than watching a guy try to look manly in a store while holding his purse. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to take votes on who looks the most manly holding the purse. Okay, is it the one who has grabbed it like this? Is it one who is holding it by the straps? Or the one who is, like... How many, just by applause, thinks that this one right here is the most manly way to hold a purse? Okay, all right. How many of y'all think this one right here is the most manly? Okay, all right. And who thinks this is the, excellent, all right. Okay, so I want to clue you guys in on a little secret, okay? To a lot of men, coming into church is like you're being asked to hold your wife's purse. That's the feeling that a lot of men get when they come into church. Thanks, guys. That's the way that a lot of men feel in church. Not when they're around God, but that's the way when they feel when they walk into church. And there's a good reason for that. So if you were making a movie targeting men as your primary audience, what would you put in it? You would put in action, adventure, bombs, explosions, and a hero that saves the world against incredible odds. This is found in the action adventure section of what used to be a video store like Blockbuster. Okay? That's where you find it in Netflix. Now, if you were making a movie targeting women as your primary customer, what would you put in it? You'd put in beautiful scenery, bright colors, a couple that falls in love after a series of foibles and misunderstandings, right? That's called a romantic comedy. I just have a question. Which one does church look more like? It definitely looks more like the romantic comedy, because most of my life in church, I was told that I needed to fall in love with a wonderful man named Jesus. That's what was marketed. That was how Christianity was described to me. Well, as a guy, that didn't really appeal, quite honestly. It didn't. And I always thought there's something wrong with me, that for somehow, some reason, I needed to temper down this sin nature that resisted that. I when I read the Bible, I saw Jesus calling these men to sacrifice and to commitment and to go where no one else was going and to do what no one else was doing at the risk of their lives. They were getting killed. They were getting knocked off. They were going and sacrificing themselves for this huge, great cause, and nothing was more inspiring. And then I got into church, and I was told to play it safe, to not do anything risky because, well, that's just sinful. And I realized that it wasn't Christianity. It was who the church was marketing to. K-Love, the popular Christian radio, has as their target demographic middle-aged women. That's who they program for. That's who they know their customer base is. That's who they target advertising for. That's how they target their songs to, middle-aged women. That's their target demographic. And I would like to suggest that the church does the same thing. Nothing wrong with it. It's just that when the guys walk in, we realize it's not for us. It's really not for us. And it's seen as a place for women and children. That's because that's who church is designed services and ministries for. And that is something that I wrestled with in my early desire to be a Christian and to be in the church. And I realized there's a reason why there are 13 million more women than men in church every Sunday morning. And there's a reason why one out of every five married Christian women goes to church without her husband. It's because the guy doesn't see that it's a place for him. So when I saw that, I said, what if we could change that? What if we could design a church where men felt welcome? Because the men were missing from the body of Christ. And that's what inspired us to plant this church. The second reason why men are not in church, it's just seen as irrelevant to men. It's seen as irrelevant, which is very strange because stories of men in the Bible are pretty hardcore. How have we missed it? Well, Jesus told us to go into all the world and make disciples. That means going to places that are risky, places that are emphasizing some adventure. Adventure. That's at the heart of what's at most men. I don't know if you know that or not. How many of us men in here, and how many of you moms of boys, know that when the kids are little, they're all about adventure? What do you want to do when you grow up is a question. I want to be an astronaut. I want to go on Lewis and Clark, and I want to go kill grizzly bears, and I want to go do this, and I want to go do that. No one says, I want to sit there behind a computer screen and play video games. No, that comes later. That's when the heart of the man has been crushed, and he's been told not to do this because it's risky and it's bad, and he settles for mediocrity. That's what happens. It's not what's preached in most churches a lot of times. The adventure, we're encouraged to fall in love with a wonderful man named Jesus. Well, that's not going to appeal to very many guys, honestly. Churches tame the message of the gospel. It's emphasized safety and security and shied away from adventure, risk, and challenge. Well, there's no doubt, no wonder why a lot of guys don't see churches for them. They see it as irrelevant, okay? They don't see it's relevant to their business, to their lives. And guys, it's not the message of Christianity that is irrelevant. It's the way the church has put it. And so at Catalyst, we have to be different. I want you guys to take a look around. Take a look around at who's here. There are a lot of guys here, aren't there? Matter of fact, one visitor who started visiting about 3 weeks ago said that the first thing he knows was how many guys were here. The church he'd been to, there were none. And so, guys, one of the ways we are going to reach the family and we're going to grow and have a balanced church is we're going to try to reach the family through reaching men, engaging the men with the mission of Christ. And this is what happens when we engage men, the heart of men in the church and in Christianity. And when we do that, we have three results. Number one, we have functional men lead to a stable family. The results of an engaged man in the mission of Christ, the first, it leads to a stable family. God's plan from the very beginning was the family. I don't know if you know that or not. If you look in the very first chapter of the Bible, there were two relationships that were present, one with God, one with spouse. That was the original plan for us, okay? We were designed for two fundamental relationships. And when we were engaged in both of those, when we're engaged in relationship with God and relationship with our significant other, with our spouse, life just works out because that's the way we were designed. Okay, one of the things I've encountered in my fatherhood ministry in prisons is the absence of this, where men are not engaged in those two relationships. Chaos. It's not uncommon for several of the men in the Inside Out Dad program, and several of them in one class, to have multiple children with multiple moms. The absolute quagmire these men find themselves in, children of different ages, different families, different discipline structures for the children. Many of the men are upset over the boyfriend that mom is living with right now because he disciplines his child differently than he would. Can you imagine that? Your child being disciplined by another person because you're over here and mom's with someone else. The brokenness that he brought himself by his actions. One of the men told me that he had 14 children by 11 different women. He was one of 20 children his dad had by 19 women. His dad passed down that brokenness. The nightmare of child support, of bitter exes, trying to be involved in different kids' lives, living in different cities, different states. Can you imagine the headache of trying to be an engaged dad? That's an extreme case, but you see what happens when men neglect the two relationships that God has called us to. It's chaos. That's not what God wants for us, men or women. But if the church is worth its salt, the church can cast a vision for life that is better than that. Emphasizing marriage, emphasizing involvement with God and spouse and children, emphasizing commitment and sacrifice, which is at the heart of every man. Something greater than yourself, your family, your kids, your community. That's where men really start living. If we can emphasize that as a church, that they're a necessary part of the fundamental thing that God designed us for, all of a sudden, we're going to see a lot of guys coming to Christ and living on purpose as God commanded them to do. The problem is that men aren't being encouraged to commit by the world out there. They're not being encouraged to invest in kids, to raise stable families. Society's completely telling us as men to do the opposite. Marriage rates are decreasing. 43% of children are now born outside of wedlock. In some communities, it's as high as 78%. And that's not to shame anyone that has had a single parent. We know it's tough on you. This is the place for you. We want you to be here because you need us and we need you. The church has an amazing opportunity to change this, to speak truth, to cast an alternative vision for life for men that is being put out there. And that's what we're doing here at Catalyst. And when we do that, we know we're winning. The second thing is that functional men lead to a stable church. Not just a stable family, but a stable church. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul was saying, look, follow me. As I follow Christ, follow me. And I would like to suggest that becomes the marching orders for every man in here. That we look at this church, we look at this society and say, follow my example as I'm following Christ. You want to know how to pray? Watch me. You want to know what it means to live on purpose? Watch me. You want to know how a Christian man treats a family? Watch me. That's what I would love to see out of every man in here. Problem is, guys, the cat's in the cradle. Our kids do grow up like us. Nowhere is this more apparent than in the area of faith. I said earlier, in most families, mom's a spiritual leader. And you all have been carrying that ball for a long time, women, and lots of us are here because of you. Seriously. Some of us, the only reason we're alive is because mom or grandma has been praying for us. How many of y'all are the only reason you're alive is because maybe a grandma was praying for you? Yeah, absolutely. But here's the truth. About 80% of teenagers involved in youth ministry and children's ministry will leave the church within 2 years of graduating high school. I want you to look around. You see the teenagers in here? See the kids in here? 80% of them will be gone, not in the church. Are you okay with that? You get that? Most of the time, people in articles and everything, they criticize youth ministry. Youth ministry's not doing enough. Children's ministry not doing enough. Church isn't doing enough. And some of those are fair. What isn't said is the vast majority of the 20% that remain have fathers that were engaged in the faith. But not only that, when men are engaged in the life of the church, they bring with them the balance of masculinity. Emphasis on risk. Emphasis on adventure. Emphasis on entrepreneurship, beginning new things, new ministries to dangerous areas of the world. I'm not saying women can't do that, but that seems to be what really drives men, what is appealing to men in the gospel. All right? Those are essential parts of the church, and for too long these parts have been missing because men have not been engaged. Church needs both men and women. We need both. We need all the things that women bring, and we need all the things that men bring. The goal is a balanced church, but the men have been missing. So we have to do things differently. We have to call and challenge men to be who God created them to be. Cast an alternative vision for life. And the third thing that happens when men are engaged leads to a stable society. Malachi 4, 5 through 6, these are the last words of the Old Testament, the last thing the prophet said to Israel before they fell silent for 400 years and Jesus arrived. The last thing in the Old Testament, look what it says. This is the desire of God to leave this country with. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you for that great and dreadful day the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of their parents to their children and the hearts of their children to their parents. Or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Unless the hearts of the parents turn towards the kids and the hearts of the kids turn towards the parents, we're done, the Bible is saying. We're toast as a society. And guys, functional men who are engaged in their faith and engaged at home lead to a stable society. I don't believe you can separate the church from the community in which it resides. If the church is healthy, it will affect the community it serves. If the church does its job, we will see decreasing amounts of drug use, decreased amounts of crime, decreased amounts of children outside of wedlock, decreasing amounts of abortion. I believe that you cannot build up the church without it affecting society. And if we have a bunch of stable families, a bunch of stable, committed men, a stable, committed church, we will have a stable, committed society. We really will. That is all over the place. If our faith has no impact on the community around us, what are we doing? We're not doing anything. And so the more men that we're able to bring to Christ, the more men we're able to engage with their families, get in the lives of their children, the better our entire community is going to be. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that so much. I left safety and security of a good job and came here and planted a church with no guarantee of success. That's how committed I am to that proposition. All over the news right now is a topic of toxic masculinity. Anybody heard that? Toxic masculinity. It's basically a campaign to take stereotypes of men, bullying, catcalling, advances on women, irresponsibility, fighting, etc., and shame it. And there's a lot about that, about masculinity needs to be critiqued. Really, there's a lot of that in there. But with 43% of boys growing up in homes without a father, going to daycares where 95% of the workers are female, then going to schools where 78% of the teachers are women, a young boy can grow from infancy to adulthood without ever being in presence of a man. And I would like to suggest the problem isn't so much toxic masculinity as it is absent masculinity. That's what I believe. Men, you are essential to the family, to the church, and to society. I heard a message by a guy named Lieutenant Dave Grossman. He's a retired lieutenant colonel. He was speaking to first responders, police, fire, EMTs. And he said this: you are the kind of people that when the guns start shooting, you run towards it, not away from it. And he said, I want to suggest something. He said, there are three types of people in this world. He said, the first are sheep. He said, that's what most people are. They're kind of going about their business. They're not really noticing what's going on. It's kind of minding their own business, everything like that. He says, that's what most people are. And he said, but the second type is that there are wolves. And what do the wolves do to the sheep? They kill them. They pursue them. They do not have the sheep's best interests at heart. Can we agree on that? Wolves do not have the sheep's best interests at heart. And believe me, there are wolves out there. There are wolves that do not have us or our children or our families or our community's best interests at heart. They're there to destroy. However, there's a third type, and that's the sheepdog. The sheepdog. Now, if you were to put a wolf next to a sheepdog, what would be the real differences between them? Not much. They're about the same size, same strength, same canine, same family. They look similar. They're from the same family. Everything like that. There's not, genetically, they're probably 99.5% similar. What is the one difference? Is that the sheepdog and his strength and his power under the authority of the shepherd. The wolf thinks only about himself. The sheepdog takes his strength and his power and places it under the authority of the shepherd, and he says, I will use my strength and my power to defend and to stand between those who cannot stand up for themselves. I'm going to stand between them and the world and say, no one gets to you except through me. That's what a sheepdog is. So the question is, I'm going to talk to the men here. I don't know about you guys, but I'm the strongest one in my family. I'm the tallest, at least till Sam passes me up. But I'm the tallest, I'm the strongest. God made me that way for a reason. He made me that way for a reason. He made me that way, so not so I could bully and force my way on my family and around the people around me. That's not why he gave us the strength and size and speed and power, men. He gave that to us. And he says, I want you to take this masculinity. I want you to surrender it to me. And I want to direct it into the place where I need it to go. I want you to use your strength and your power and your speed to defend your family, to stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves, to fight off the wolves. That's what a real man does. And when you start living like that, man, there is nothing greater than that, being sheepdogs for our families and our communities and for the Lord. I don't know about you men, but that fires me up. Knowing that the Lord created me with strength and power so that I could defend and sacrifice for the people I care about. There's nothing more exciting to a man than that. If that doesn't get your fire, your blood boiling, I don't know, you're dead. Well, that's what we're called to be, men. And as a church, we must consistently put that vision forth in front of the men in this community. Yes, God created you strong. Yes, God created you with a sense of adventure. Yes, God created you to be to do all of these things because that's his heart. You're made in his image. And we need to consistently keep that in front of men. Women, I hope that you have not been upset by this because we love you and we need you. We need you. We would be nothing without you. This is something that the church has fallen short in. When I say the church, I mean the church universal. And men aren't going to church much. Who is missing from church? It's men. And we at Catalyst have to do something about that. And it's not by degrading or pushing aside women. It's not like that at all. It is calling our men to be engaged in the adventure that Christ calls us to and step up to be the men God called us to be. Now, invite the band to come on back up. One of the things that we take very, very seriously here at this church is men's ministry. And you guys heard about the men's retreats coming up on Saturday. If this message has been stirring to you, if you found something, I want to invite you on Saturday to Shane Short's house at 4 o'clock. Our fellowship and our indoor tailgate starts 4 o'clock. Four square, darts, cornhole. We have dinner. We're gonna talk about what it means to take off our dead selves and put on the new self, it's Christ. A lot of us men, we need to get rid of our old self, selfish, immature, maybe I don't know, whatever it is that we need to get rid of and put on the new self created to be like Christ. We're gonna talk about that, and we'll be done by about 9:30. I really want to put a plug in for that. I'll be there, and I hope you will too. Because that's what's key to engaging the hearts of us men. And as we continue to put forth an alternate vision for what this life can be, I pray that we reach men, that our church is full of both men and women who are engaged in the mission of Christ. I want to invite you stand and worship with us.